So tonight, again, we hear a story that has become very familiar, so familiar that many of us could say it off by heart. And truth be known, it is in our hearts and it resonates deep within us. It delights us to think of angels singing, to think of how wondrous it would be to be wakened up to God's glory shining all around. In our imaginations, we like to think of how it would be to hear those angels, and we think we know how it must have sounded. Truth be known, we idealize that scene more than just a little. We clean up the straw more than just a little. Color in a soft glow around the newborn and mother as if they are glowing themselves rather than leaving the deep darkness and cold of an unlit cave in the middle of the night. We clean up the shepherds too, so that they fit with our idea of decent and good order and the angel songs. They sound to us like classical music, don't they? We think more like Handel, major key, resolution in the end, rather than Eastern-sounding chants and haunting melodies that seem to never resolve or come to an end like Jewish worship. This story has been handed down to us through the hands of generation after generation. It is a story that has resonated with each generation and with those who stop to wonder at what it might mean for them as they wrestle with what the echoes of angel song might mean in their lives. They put themselves, their music, and their spin on the story. They imagine their response, and with their imagining, each time they encounter the story, their lives are shaped more and more by the images of God's love in that story. You see, God does not just come in history, but God comes into the lives of every time and every place, showering grace and love, inviting a response to God's presence. So it is that we gather year after year to hear that story again. Tonight, we focus on the feeding trough and bread and wine and being fed. And we can take time to wonder tonight, to wonder what it might mean for us and our lives. The wonder of the story is that it does not give us pat answers or conform to our assumptions or expectations of how God should act. If only we were God, it would go this way. But this story has power to disturb us, to disturb us, to get us asking questions, to disturb us into wondering, what is this thing that has come to pass, that God has passed on and made known to us? The truth is that some of us were more certain that God breaks through to us at one point in our lives than we are today. The truth is that some of us are newly aware of God's presence with us and greet today with joy. This story holds promise for all of us, not because of what we believe and not because of what we have achieved, but because God's love and what God has done is the answer to the question. So tonight, now that we have read the story together, let's wonder about what it is that God has done. You see, the Gospels each tell the story differently, each with its own images, its own people, bringing Jesus' life into their lives, finding meaning as God comes into the world. John used light, talked of John the Baptist, darkness. Luke talked of angels, Mary, Joseph, shepherds. Matthew talked of foreigners, wise men. Mark skips the story altogether, begins with Jesus' ministry. He was born because we know that because he lived and he taught. All different. But the thing they have in common is that God comes into the world for us and to us. And the truth is, each of us will experience this story differently tonight, even though we all share God's love. Mary and Joseph, were religious Jews. They found their lives affected by the government of the time, who demanded that they travel to be counted for taxation, even though Mary was 9 months pregnant. Due to the hint of scandal around the pregnancy and their poverty, there was no room for them in the inn in Bethlehem. They took refuge in a cave that sheltered sheep. The baby was born in the dark and cold and laid in the safest, cleanest spot, a feeding trough. They were among poor and marginalized, invisible to the powerful, or so it seemed. Other people in the story are angels, heavenly beings, who were sent with a message. They were so amazed by God's glory and by the love and grace that was born on earth that they could not restrain themselves. They had to praise God, whose glory filled the heavens and the earth. And then there were the shepherds. We tend to romanticize them too. Truth is, they were poor. They were rough. They were mostly homeless. They were considered religiously unclean, unwelcome in polite company, unacceptable at worship, not even important enough to be counted in that census. And there were the wise men in the stories, wise men from the East, most likely from Persia, from a priestly family in Zoroastrianism. They practiced astrology, forbidden in the Old Testament. They watched for signs in the stars. In other words, they were foreigners. They were religious outsiders who did not worship the Most High God. And yet, they were open to the signs. You see, they were all so different. All those people that came near that manger that night were outsiders in their own way. What did they have in common? God's love was for each of them and for all of them. God's Son was born to them and for them. God's light, the light of the world, was shining in the world for them. Showing again that God's love is for all. Together, these people and their stories remind us that no one is exempt from God's love. None of us deserve God's love. But because God's love is so great, God makes it possible for us to know God's love. God does not consider anyone an outsider, but continues to reach out to each and to all of us, whether in dreams like for Joseph, or ponderings of Mary, or experiences of angels like the shepherds, or in nature in the stars like the Magi. This is the wonder of which the angels sang, the wondrous news of this night, that God should come to us, no matter how unworthy we are. Too often, we hear the words, for an hour in the year. And we'd like it to be true, but too often we conclude that the good news is for others, but not for us. Perhaps we are weighed down by guilt or pain or fear or hurt or jaded by disappointment in how life has turned out. But what the angels sang about that night was that God knows who we are. That God still comes to us, whoever we are, whatever we have done, whatever we think or believe. This is the glorious message of our glorious God, made obvious in Jesus' birth. God's love knows no boundary. God's reaching out knows no boundary, none. Jesus was born to a poor girl, cared for by a lowly carpenter, visited by outcasts, accepted gifts from those from other lands and other religions. There is no boundary to what God will do to make sure you know you are loved, and to make sure you know that you can pass that on to others. The words of the angels are true, not just that Christ is born, but that, like the shepherds, Christ is born for you, for us. Whatever you have made of your life and whatever life has made of you, Christ is born for you today and for all time. Just as for Mary and Joseph, life would never be the same. Life for us can never be the same if we truly catch a glimpse of that. Mary and Joseph still had to live in a world where power ruled, where they were seemingly nothing. But they did so even as they lived in relationship with God's Son. As the Magi encountered Jesus, they were changed. They offered him gifts. They returned home by a different road. They were changed. They found a new way to go home. The shepherds would never be the same. They now knew who they were and whose they were, despite what the world was trying to tell them. They were no longer defined by the messages of those around them, but by God's love they now believed was true was for them too. Like the angels, they could not restrain their glee. They shared the good news of God's love with all they met. If they were acceptable to God, then others were too. So tonight, we rejoice and sing songs as we remember what God has done. But tonight, we also need to wonder, think about with intention that God's love can continue to shape our story, to shape our lives, as we are open to seeing our lives in a new way, as we are open for the light of the world to shine on our past struggles and hurts and disappointments and help us to imagine a better future and then to live it. Or to acknowledge our mistakes, not to increase our guilt, but to accept forgiveness freely offered, freely given, and begin to imagine a new way of living that will bring peace in the world and peace in us. But like Mary, let's treasure all these things, all these stories, and keep thinking about them. Keep thinking about the questions they bring for us. Will our lives be shaped and shape the world around by love and peace and grace? Will a song of our lives bring glory to God? Or will it be for now or this year and wait until next year for the rest of the story?